العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وأهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Before I begin tonight, O you who are the soldiers of the Imam, whose responsibility it is to prepare the grounds for the return of our Imam, before I start to talk about tonight's topic, there was a point that was raised which I feel is very valid. If you guys have noticed, normally after my speech, I pray for all of the Maraja, all of the believers, and then I mention the leader also. Okay? There is a question that could come into mind, and that is that, are we trying to promote one marja over another, for instance? Or down other maraja? It's a question that could come into one's mind, which is absolutely incorrect. I'd like to share some inside information with you brothers and for the sisters who are listening. The inside information is this, that our maraja are not competing with one another. Sometimes we think, or even an alim like myself, or believers who really believe so much in a particular marja that we're making taqlid to, that we try and bring our marja up and we think automatically I should bring another marja down. We think that. But that is incorrect. Our maraja, these are people who accept this responsibility only because it's a responsibility. For instance, some people will think, I'm either in the camp of Agha Sistani, or I'm in the camp of Agha Khamenei, or I'm in... Right? Whereas our maraja, inside information, do you know that Ayatollah Khamenei and Ayatollah Sistani write letters to one another? They're coordinating their activities? I don't know if you knew, but when Agha Hakim went over to Iraq on behalf of Ayatollah Khamenei to Iraq, Ayatollah Sistani sent his representative to meet him at the border. They're not like me and you, you know, I'm a marja, so, you know, how much khums do you get? Huh? That's not what the marja, this is about service to God, responsibility. That's what we're saying about our marja. So it's not anything like that. However, so what happens is that everybody is supposed to make taqlid to their own marja when it comes to the issues of fiqh. My marja says, I can have a goatee. Your marja says, keep a full beard. This marja says, everybody does what their marja says when it comes to those practical laws of Islam. One more point though. As Muslims, we do need leadership when it comes to the social issues which affect all of us. We do need to have one voice. Okay? So I want to share some more inside information with you. Before the victory in Lebanon, the big victory in Lebanon, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah came to Qom. And obviously when he comes to Qom, then for the students, that's Eid. You know, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, he's there, bismillah. Everybody wants to go, you want to be there. So he came and he's speaking, this is before the victory. And he was speaking and he said something. He started quoting a hadith of the Prophet of Allah that's relative to what we're talking about now. In that hadith, the Prophet of Allah is talking to Ammar. You know Ammar Yasir? He's talking to Ammar. He said, Ammar, after me, after I pass, there will be ikhtilaf in the ummah. There will be differences and fighting and struggling and people going at it. Swords will be drawn with one another. People will be drawing swords with one another. People will be fighting one another. People will be seeking distance from one another. He said, so at that time, he gave him the criteria of what to do. He said, فَإِنْ سَلَكَ النَّاسِ كُلُّهُمْ وَادِيَا. That if all of the people go into a valley, وَسَلَكَ عَلِيٌّ وَادِيَا. And Ali ibn Abi Talib goes into a valley. فَسْلُكْ وَادِيَا Ali. You go in that wadi, that valley that Ali ibn Abi Talib went to. وَخَلِّ عَنِ النَّاسِ. You leave the people. Okay? So then he explained something to us. He said that when it comes to these issues, which you're going to follow, he said if all of the ulama go into a valley, and Ayatollah Khamenei goes into a valley, you go in that valley that Ayatollah Khamenei goes in. Why? We're soldiers of the Imam. We're in the last of times. You're going to be hearing different things. The test will get more and more difficult as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Imam. You don't want to get lost at the last second and not know where to go. So amongst our maraja, there is no difference when it comes to that one voice that speaks, and we should all be following. And those social issues, you listen to the advice of Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, you follow that leader. So that's what it is. That's one point. The other point is that sometimes as believers, we have ikhtilaf amongst ourselves. One thing that you've noticed that since the time of the coming of Imam Khomeini, that he always would emphasize on the idea of unity between Shias and Sunnis. Shias and Sunnis. This is, you know, there are some who are opposed to the message of the Ahlul Bayt, and I've seen them myself on television say that unity is the weapon of the Shia. Some people think they're being brave and tough by talking very harshly to our Sunni brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, I used to be Sunni myself. Others don't know the path of the Ahlul Bayt. Nobody hates the Ahlul Bayt. They don't know. If we don't do tabligh, they're not going to find out. Unity means, sit. I'm not going to be you, I'm not going to change into you, they're not going to change into me. But let's listen, let's speak to one another, let's get to know one another. Let's not be enemies to one another, okay? So obviously the issue of Shia-Sunni unity is very important for us as soldiers of the Imam in the last days. I want to speak about another issue, unity amongst Shias. Sometimes you'll find Shias going at it at one another, you know? It's Karbala, brother! Ready to fight another Shia? Take out Dhulfiqar over tiny non-issues! Live and let live, brother. Explain, be friendly, talk to people, try and invite. But we go for the bigger goals. We have enemies, we have problems, we have issues, we have an Imam who's waiting for us. So we shouldn't have these small issues distract us. Salawat bar Muhammad. Now, oh, you need people to come forward? Listen, a few others can come forward. Okay, what we're talking about now is the hadith of the Prophet of Allah, and we're using this hadith for self-building. The hadith, the last part that we're going to talk about today, is about hatred of this world and how to get to be someone who is not attached to this world. Okay, so the hadith starts out, Ya Ahmad, abghid ad-dunya. O Ahmad, hate the dunya. We're talking about the core reason for the mazlumiyat of the Ahlul Bayt. Why is it that the Ahlul Bayt have been mazlum for so long? Why is it that Islam has not become victorious up until now? This main reason is love of this world. Let me give you an example from the beginning. In the Battle of Badr, as you know, pressure was being applied by the mushrikeen on the Prophet of Allah. The Prophet of Allah wasn't somebody to be looking for war. He migrated to escape the mushrikeen and he went to Medina. When he goes to Medina, the mushrikeen still can't leave the Prophet of Allah alone. They want to go fight the Prophet of Allah. As mushrikeen, they're not fighting for God, they fight for money and power. How do I prepare an army to go and fight the Prophet of Allah who's living in Medina so many miles away? I get money together, pay some soldiers, and then we go and fight and conquer Medina. Okay, so what happens for the Battle of Badr? The leaders of Quraysh put money together, put a caravan together, and they send it under the leadership of Abu Sufyan to go to Syria or the other places, trade, get the money, come back as an investment and find out. The Prophet of Allah finds out. Intelligence of the Prophet of Allah finds out that actually the enemy is preparing an army and they're using this caravan to raise that money. So obviously in order to protect Islam, the Prophet of Allah goes to get the caravan. The caravan escapes the first time, goes over, does the trading, and now the caravan is heading back. When the caravan's heading back, again the Prophet of Allah, why would I wait until the caravan gets there, gives them money, and then they can attack me? The Prophet of Allah goes to get the caravan. At this stage, Abu Sufyan sends a message to the leaders of Quraysh. The caravan, all of your money, it's in danger. Send an army to protect the caravan. So now they come to protect the caravan. And when they send an army to protect the caravan, they didn't have time to prepare a regular army. They're the most powerful tribe of Quraysh. They can get people from everywhere. But they don't have time to prepare a proper army. So now that they're under pressure, they all come out to fight. What does that mean? That first army of around 1,000 individuals is made up of the leaders of Quraysh, the thinkers behind the plan of the mushrikeen. Okay? So now, this is the situation. The Prophet of Allah, with 313 people, going to fight this army of 1,000 people, made up of the think tank of the enemy. So Amirul Mu'mineen comes out, the battle starts, cuts down 13, you know, he's just, you know, half of the martyrs of the other guys, half of the bad guys who got killed are killed on the hands of Amirul Mu'mineen. Now the enemy is running. Now it is time to finish off the enemies of Islam. Islam can become victorious. Now listen to what happens. You've all read about this in history. At this stage, the believers start to get prisoners. The Prophet of Allah is saying, fight, kill these guys. These are the leaders, these are the thinkers. Finish them off. The believers, because of mahabbat of the dunya, love of this world, say, no, I want to get money. I'll get each one of these guys, I can get them for ransom. The other battles could have been avoided, but love of this world, love of the money, possession of this world, led them to get prisoners. Then after that, ransom those prisoners. Those same people go back, plan other battles, the Battle of Uhud. So love of this world has been a problem and has caused the mazlumiyat of Islam from the beginning. We're trying to rid ourselves of this terrible, terrible trait. So now, because we're soldiers of the Imam, we don't just look at history and then point fingers. Oh, those bad companions. We look at ourselves. We many times have the traits of love of this world. We're attached to our possessions. I want to talk very seriously to the brothers and the sisters who are listening, because we want to be the soldiers of the Imam. I want to talk about how deep we have to dig if we want to be those real, true Muslim soldiers. We want to be people who are maktabi Muslims, ready for service to the Imam of our time. You know, another thing that I should add, we might not have that long to prepare for the return of the Imam. We've got a lot of signs of the coming of the Imam that have taken place. One of them I'll just mention, that it's mentioned that knowledge will move from Kufa to Qum and from Qum to the rest of the world. You know, right now we have 10,000 non-Iranian students in Qum. 10,000 more who've been through the system. No. These brothers and sisters are going back and spreading Islam across the world. This hasn't happened before in history that we've had this number. Okay? You know that the Islamic Revolution, the idea that there would be a man from Qum who would rise, the people would gather around him like blocks. This is mentioned in Hadith of Ahlul Bayt. The Iranian Revolution, if this is that example, was prophesied in the Hadith of the Ahlul Bayt. You want to get a buzz? So there's a lot of other signs, right? When you hear Grand Ayatollah speaking, Ayatollah Makarem Shirazi, saying that this is the Zuhur-e Sughra, that it's the lesser appearance that we're going through, then it's time for you and I to start getting serious, okay? One thing, if we just want to get a buzz, go on YouTube, and on YouTube, look up Age of Appearance. And over there, look at the emergence of Al-Yamani and see who that person is. Listen to the Hadith of the Ahlul Bayt and see maybe who it is. If you think that, you'll realize we don't have all day to get ourselves together. We have to take this very seriously, brothers and sisters, if we want to become those true soldiers of the Imam. So now, how deep do we have to dig? One verse of Quran. This is Surah 9, it's verse 24. To give us an idea, if we want to be the soldiers of the Imam, what are we supposed to be like? Verse of Quran. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا. Let me just start translating the verse. The verse is saying that, say, if your fathers and your sons, and your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your tribe, your kinsfolk, your wealth which you have gathered, your business which you are afraid might get slack, right? Your homes which you are pleased with. If this is dearer to you, أَحَبُّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, if this is dearer to you than Allah and His Messenger, وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ, and doing jihad in the way of Allah, striving in the way of Allah, فَتَرَبَّصُوا, so wait, حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ, until Allah brings forward His command. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ, Allah does not guide the transgressing faucet people. If my possessions, my dunya, is dearer to me, and we all have possessions, we all have things that we like about this world, we're talking about love of this world. If these things are more dear to me than Allah and His Messenger and service in the way of Islam, then wait until Allah brings about His command. And Allah does not guide the transgressing people. You see, we're working with two things. One of them is just, we were talking the other day about not being a secular Muslim, not being a Muslim who has trouble even with the Quranic concepts, to move from that to at least accept that, but then to move further to being somebody who has love of Allah so much that I'm ready for my imam to come right now. Let me give you an example. We've had secular Muslims from the beginning of the mission. You want an example? Listen to this story, which you've all heard before. The people, the mu'mineen, were so attached to the Prophet of Allah that when he went to make wudu, they would get the water from his wudu. What the Prophet of Allah goes, let's say he's in the kitchen, to make wudu, you're standing behind it to get the water from the Prophet of Allah's wudu. These same people who consider the Prophet that holy when it comes to those social political issues, the appointment of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the same people who made bay'at, don't follow Amir al-Mu'mineen. So, we have to be very, when we say not being a secular, being a maktabi Muslim, I'm just waiting for my imam to arrive so I can serve him, follow him. I cannot be committing open haram in my own life. There's some issues I'm not going to mention from the member. In our own lives, haram of Allah and His Messenger. We know Allah doesn't like it. We know the verses of Quran too. This is Surah 3 and verse number 31. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Say, if you love Allah, follow me. Follow the Prophet of Allah. In my personal life, there are many muharramat which I know about. It's not a question, maybe this is haram, maybe, no. I know this is haram, and I'm still doing it with impunity. Now, if I'm doing this, then even that basic issue in Islam, right? I'm trying to prepare myself to be a soldier of the imam, to move past being a secular Muslim, move past, right, to make sure that in my personal life, I'm doing these things. So I'm not going to mention, we all know when people ask al-Bahjah, they would ask him, how do we become a real, true mu'min? He would say, act on what you know. You know a lot of things. Act on what you know. If you know, then act. We have hadith. If you know on what you act, Allah will give you the knowledge of what you don't know. So if we want to be those maktabi Muslims, ready for the service to the cause of Islam, we have to start on a practical level, start acting. I want to give you an example of how deep we have to dig. When we say that we want to be the soldiers of the imam of our time, what does it mean? What does it mean? Okay. You know that the Prophet of Allah, after his death, he did not give Amir al-Mu'mineen permission to take everybody into paradise for free. It was up to the believers to rise and to defend Islam. He said that muhabbat of this world, love of this world, has been a disease from the beginning, and it's a disease which we possess. So the believers, Amir al-Mu'mineen is not going to, he has ghufrat al-khata, he can just go over and wipe out all of his enemies, anybody who's bad. No, it's for me and you, the soldiers of the imam, to do what's right. So now I want to give you a little example of what it's like in Medina at that time. Amir al-Mu'mineen, according to some historical accounts, comes with Hazrat Fatima, with Imam Hassan, with Imam Hussein. And he comes to the doors of the believers. He's knocking on your doors. He says, brothers, if you support me, I want you to come and meet me in such and such a place with your head shaved and your sword ready. Let's just think about it for ourselves. Let's say the Imam of the time returns right now and says that, brothers, I want you to come to the MFI with your head shaved. There's no way you can hide that afterwards. With your sword. Right? You know, and you remember that at that time in Medina, it wasn't easy to go against the rulers of the time. You know that people were being burned alive for violating the rights of the rulers? One example, there was one man who was burned and he was screaming, "Ana Muslim! I'm a Muslim!" This person getting burned alive, right? You see what they do even to the daughter of the Prophet of Allah. Now at that stage, when you're told to come with your head shaved, are you ready for that? You can't hide it after that. Everybody knows who you really are. You've just come with... You know how many believers passed that test? According to some riwayat, four people passed the test. At least 80,000 people were there in Khadiri home. 80,000. Four, some say five, six, maybe up till 12. Getting ready for the Imam of the time is not easy. What the Imam of the time needs is soldiers, people who submit to him, who follow him, who will do what he says to do. We have always had glorious leaders. What we haven't had are those maktabi people who are ready to serve the Imam. Otherwise, look in the Islamic Republic right now. Islamic Republic. A na'ib of the Imam. As one of the brothers put it, a qambar of qambars. Na'ib of Imam, not Imam. Nobody can be, on the face of the earth, can be compared to Amir al-Mu'mineen. But for the na'ib of the Imam, you see how the people are ready to serve? Let me give you one example from the battlefield to let you know. There was a man on the battlefield, 19 years old, gets shot in his throat, ready to die, gonna go in a few minutes, his blood pouring out of his body. He takes his fingers, puts his fingers in the blood in his neck, and starts to write on a rock, Durud Bar Khomeini. Long live Khomeini. For the representative of the Imam, not the Imam. What will this person do for the Imam of the time? What is our relationship right now to our Maraja? They're representatives of the Imam. How do we feel about them? Right? So now we want to say, okay, well, look, this is how deep I have to dig. Right? So now, what is a cure? When I look in Hadith of Ahlul Bayt, what is a cure for me to get rid of this disease of love of this world? What have the Ahlul Bayt told me? Hadith now. This is from the Prophet of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ الْمَوْتِ. Remember death much. This is against or different to the values that we have in this society. If you tell the people in this society you want to think about death, oh, that's morbid. Why would you think about death? So as a soldier of the Imam though, what are your instructions? It's different from everybody else. You're told to remember death much. One of the spiritual instructions for us, if we want to go on the spiritual path of the Ahlul Bayt, is to visit the Qabr, Qabristan. That's one of the instructions on a weekly basis. On a weekly basis. They say don't go at night to visit the grave, go in the daytime. Don't go for a long time. It's not as I have to be there 5 minutes, 10 minutes. They say, go and try and let your heart feel the difference. I will be in my grave. Fulan ibn Fulan. All of my titles, my money, my big house, respect of people. All of that will be gone. I will be Fulan ibn Fulan and I will be in the Qabr. Answering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every one of my actions. That's what's going to happen to all of us. Right now, I'm here, I'm shouting, I'm on the minbar. You think in the day of judgment, Allah, everything that I say, everything that you do, there will be a day. I want to get rid of my love of the dunya. Nobody's saying don't have the dunya. Have the dunya. But remember death much. Hadith now. He says, remember death much. Surely it purifies you of sins. It makes you be unattached to the dunya. Remember death much. And he says that if you remember death and you're wealthy, he says that it will keep you from becoming that wealth from making you rebellious against Allah. The same ni'mat that Allah has given you turn you rebellious against Allah. But if you remember death, you remember that one day I will be giving this up. I can't even take anything with me except my kafan. That will get me to remember Allah and to submit to Him. The other thing he says that if you're poor and you remember death, then this will get you to be satisfied with your life. If I remember that I'm going to be going to others who are a lot worse off, when I don't have anything, instead of me complaining about the little I have now, I'm happy with this kind of a life. So that's one of the things that we have to do. The other thing that we're told to do is to show humility even though we're enjoying this world, even though everything is going right. As a believer, as a soldier of the Imam, the other instruction of the Ahlul Bayt is that I should be showing humility to Allah and to the servants of Allah. Hadith, that Allah gave me wahi, talking to our Prophet. He said that, have humility, have tawadu. He said, until no one has fakhr over the other, no one brags to the other person. He says that I am the leader of mankind, the leader, the Sayyid Wuldi Adam. I am the Sayyid of all of the children of Adam. Wala fakhr, and there's no bragging. So that's what the Prophet of Allah is saying. So for us, you and I, how do we do this practically? One of the things that we want to do is to remember that even though we have material success, none of that means anything. We're all just regular human beings. Let me give you one example from Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad, people may agree or disagree, or I don't like Ahmadinejad, he's loud, he's this, that, and the other. Some people don't like it, right? But one thing you have to say about this person is this person is a real mu'min. He might be tough when it comes to the enemies of Islam. He doesn't back down, he doesn't apologize. When it comes to mu'mineen, this guy is humble. I'll give you a practical example. Brothers came with me, brothers and sisters, we were in Iran, and there was an Imam Mahdi conference, so everybody was going and participating, and then they saw that one of the speakers was Ahmadinejad. So they came after the speech, everybody wants to see Ahmadinejad, and come and speak to him. They started reaching, he has a security team there to block everybody off. They came reaching to try and get a chance to shake hands with Ahmadinejad. And his security team's blocked. Ahmadinejad just kept reaching out behind from the crowd, shaking hands with people, talking to people. Even though he's the president of the country, he never forgot, I'm just a mu'min. People want to shake hands with me. It's okay. I'm not a big shot. The Prophet of Allah, practical now, practical. The Prophet of Allah would play with children. You say, even though you're enjoying the dunya, even though you're a person of position, be humble to God and the creation of God. The Prophet of Allah would play with children. He was going to the masjid to make salat. The children saw him. They said, Prophet of Allah, we want you to be our camel. Prophet of Allah! He started to be the camel. They were riding the Prophet of Allah. Salman looked. He said, where's the Prophet of Allah? We need to go and make salat. Prophet of Allah is not here. He looks outside. He sees the children. Instead of the Prophet of Allah just saying, well, get away, children. It's time for me to make salat. He said that, no, you have to buy me from the children. And Salman bought the Prophet of Allah for walnuts from the children. See how much respect even to the small? One practical point now, that for those of us who are fathers, we have to take an active role in raising our children. One complaint that happens in marriages is that sometimes as fathers, all we do is provide and take care of and support, which is just jihad fi sabilillah. But sometimes we don't take an active role in raising our children. And imparting the values in Islam. We have to do that. Right? So playing with them, Prophet of Allah, instructing them. Times when we perhaps have to discipline them. speak to them. All of these things are things that we want to keep in mind. So successful people normally, towards the end of their lives, one thing that they do regret is they sometimes regret not spending enough time working on their relationship with people who were important. We don't want to have that regret at the end of our lives. Now, very briefly, we just would like to remember our Imam on this night, and then inshallah we'll have a speech in order. Tonight is the night where our Imam is now in the bed resting. He is no longer that same Haydar al-Karrar. He is now somebody in the bed, according to some of the traditions, yellow from the poison, suffering. He has said, Fuztu wa Rabb al-Ka'ba, that I have succeeded by the Lord of the Ka'ba. Why would Amirul Mu'mineen say that? Amirul Mu'mineen says in one hadith, Ma ziltu mazluma, I have always been mazloom. Amirul Mu'mineen. He has always suffered. He has tried to maintain his faith. You want to hear a little bit about Amirul Mu'mineen, how he suffered? Just a little bit. It's his night. Amirul Mu'mineen, in order for the Prophet of Allah be able to accomplish his mission, the enemies of Islam, in order for them not to focus on the Prophet of Allah, the Prophet of Allah was forced to send Amirul Mu'mineen forward. From the very beginning, from the time he was a young child, in the name of Islam, he would make enemies for the Prophet of Allah. I'll give you an example. The people would come and throw rocks at our Prophet. When after that, the leaders of Bani Hashim would talk to the Quraysh, why are you throwing rocks? When they talk to the leaders of the tribes, your children are throwing rocks at the Prophet of Allah. No, we can't do anything. They're children. Amirul Mu'mineen would go forward and fight with those other little kids in order to protect the Prophet of Allah. After that, in Mecca, the person who went and slept in the Prophet's bed for the Prophet was Amirul Mu'mineen. He was laying there with the sheet pulled over his head. The enemy came in, they pulled the sheet over his head from his head. They realized it's Amirul Mu'mineen. Somebody asked him later, they said, why is it that you didn't reveal who you were? They could have killed you while the sheet was on you. He said that Ali's soul, Jane Ali, is the sacrifice for the Prophet getting even one footstep further away from the enemy. So every time they want to come to the Prophet of Allah, the obstacle between them and the Prophet of Allah is Amirul Mu'mineen. In all of the battles, Amirul Mu'mineen, Khaybar, Khandaq, and those enemies of Islam are just hating Amirul Mu'mineen because he's always the one they see facing them, stopping them from getting to the Prophet of Allah. So now, the person who is supposed to be the representative of the Prophet after the Prophet is someone who is hated in the eyes of society because he's always been a soldier of Islam. How can the Prophet of Allah and Islam keep this man alive now? When you talk about the mazlumiyat of Amirul Mu'mineen, everybody hates him. Everybody wants to get at him. And his job is not to make everybody go into paradise by force. The people have to rise. He has to get somebody who will become a distraction for the enemy from him. Somebody else for them to direct their anger at. Who is that person? Hazrat Fatih. And the enemy is, everybody's focusing on Amirul Mu'mineen. Now, Hazrat Fatima is the person who starts crying after the Prophet of Allah dies. Crying loudly. Why are you crying? I'm upset with these individuals. The person who goes into the khutbah, the masjid and recites khutbah. Who is it? Hazrat Fatima. Slowly they start to realize the enemy is not Ali. The enemy is Fatima. They start to bring all of their focus on her. She's the person to get the sanad for Fada and get slapped. Someone, Amirul Mu'mineen, has so much ghairat. How can he watch this? How can he take this? And not to be able to do anything because of Allah. So Amirul Mu'mineen says that I was always mazloom, always suffering. He suffered for 63 till he died, not able to express his grief, not able to. So we ask Allah by the right of these nights, by the right of this great man, by the right of those who have sacrificed in the way of Islam, that we become the true soldiers of Imam Mahdi. We ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad that we are able to rid ourselves of the disease of love of this world. We ask Allah by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad to protect all of the believers, all of the Maraja and the leader. Salawat.